Well, good morning. Good morning. It's a great day already. I could tell. They look around, just asking the Lord to really speak His words through me, and not only that, but that as the words are spoken, that you would hear His words in your ears. You guys know that's my prayers. More so than what I say, but what you hear is from the Lord. Does that make sense? Good. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's really good at that, at taking the words and translating them into what you need to hear. It's like I chuckle at myself and others when we fast and pray for things that we think are just so crucial and important, and it's a good thing to do. I encourage you to do that, to fast and pray. But I've always learned, or I've learned this thing after one of my first experiences of going on a lengthy fast, is that what I thought I needed to hear from the Lord wasn't at all what the Lord knew I needed to hear from Him. And so He therefore spoke what I needed to hear, even though I didn't know I needed to hear it. As we listen to the Lord, learn to listen to the Lord. Talking about hearing the voice of God, and I love that whole subject, because it's not only brings up controversy, it brings up thoughts, it brings up questions, brings up issues in my own life. I know it does others, all of us, right? I think when we talk about hearing God, I don't think anybody's got the book down to where everything I hear that I think is from God is from God. Does anybody in here know? I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, because I know that the answer to that is we struggle with it in ourselves, don't we? It's like, is this from God that I'm hearing? Is this myself? Is it, you know, as I ate a sausage biscuit this morning from Carl's Jr., like got this severe, like, indigestion, heartburn thing going on. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to explode from, ugh. That wasn't God. Right? So, you know, and sometimes I think that we get into the, how do I say it correctly? Because that's my desire is to say this all correctly as much as possible, is sometimes what we'll deem is from God, we'll claim it to be from God, but yet it's not. And because I think some of the reason behind that is because it's what I want God, I want it to be from God, so therefore I say it's from God. I've learned something as a pastor, that if somebody wants to shut me up in my tracks, they say, God's telling me this. In other words, don't go any farther, don't tell me anything, because God, who is an authority above you, is telling me something different than you're saying. That makes sense? I'm sure nobody in this room has ever played that trick on me or somebody, but it's a trick that it's been played on me. God's telling me this. In other words, just get out of my way, because this is what God's telling me. It may be. It may be. So I've as I delve into this even more so and more deeply, like I said, I don't believe that we have it all down yet. So I'm learning. I'm growing. I am in the process still of hearing the voice of God, identifying the voice of God. And are you on board with me to learn and identify here too? Are you on board with, because I think that's a noble, that's a quest, is to hear from the Lord. And I feel like as I think that's the answer to so many things and to so many issues in life. It's like to know what God is saying in a circumstance, a situation, whether it's my personal life, our church life, my family's life, our city's life, our country's life, is what is God saying? God is saying. God is speaking. God is actively voicing His voice constantly. It's a matter of us hearing and listening. Psalm 29, I'm going to read this psalm. I mentioned it last week, and I So I'm going to read it, and we'll talk a little bit about it, but it's a fantastic psalm, if you will. And as I studied it and discovered what Psalm 29 is referring to, as David wrote this psalm, he's referring to also, it's a prophetic psalm in that it's referring to that which is called for us to be and to be our mindset in the last days. It's a last days psalm for us to actually reflect on and receive as direction for us to be in the last days. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. I didn't even realize that as I quoted it last week and then studied it even more so this week, that's what he's referring to. It's a prophetic psalm, and yet at the same time speaking to us having an understanding, us understanding what the voice of the Lord is. So I love this. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. If you have a different translation, it'll say pretty much the same thing. It's just going to say it in a little bit different words, but I like the way that this is wording it. It says, honor the Lord. Some translations will say, give to the Lord. Another translation will say, ascribe to the Lord. I think we have a better understanding of the word honor. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for His glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Amen to that. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. Talking about a cedar, I love that illustration and that visual of a cedar and the voice of the Lord having the power and the absolute ability to split a cedar. You guys know what a cedar tree is, correct? Massive, right? You guys, and we are so fortunate to be just really miles, just a short distance from mighty, massive cedar trees and redwoods that when you stand next to them, you are in awe of their awesomeness, right? Has anybody visited the redwoods in our area? I mean, I hope so. It's a sight to see. And the voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. I love that because it's like a massive tree is nothing. Standing against the voice of the Lord. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. You realize what he's saying there? David is saying there? Anybody realize what he's saying there? Come on, somebody fire it away. Shoot at it. Just give it a go. Give it a go. Come on. I know you can do it. That's close, but that's not. That's next. That's no. He inspires us. Isn't this what Jesus said? If you have faith as small as what? A mustard seed. What can you do with that faith as small as a mustard seed? You can move mountains. And here he's saying the voice of the Lord makes mountains skip and leap and jump around. That's awesome. I don't know why that visual just is so enlightening to me. It's like the God's voice has the ability and the power to make a mountain skip. I mean, that's cool. Or shake. I like that. I mean, when we talk about moving mountains, that picture kind of like, because sometimes a picture becomes so, it's massive in our brains, right, to process, we kind of disconnect from it. Hello? I want you to visualize a mountain skipping, like boop, doop, 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 just hopping around. And that's what the voice of God has the power to do. Isn't that amazing? So when I'm looking at this, I'm like, wow, the voice of God has that kind of power to make a mountain skip. And I love the visual. It's almost, it's innocent, and yet at the same time, it's so deep. And then he goes on, and where did I leave off? The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. I know, you know, talking about, or just highlighting it for a lot of us, it's like, what's that? What's the wilderness of Kadesh? It is that place where, maybe where we could refer to it as is the place of wandering in the wilderness. It's that place where God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and the wilderness of Kadesh was at the border of the Promised Land. It's right there, right there, and that's where they stopped. They paused to go into the Promised Land, and as they paused is when they sent in spies, and you remember, and as the spies saw what was there, and they saw, they witnessed the enemies, they witnessed that the great people there that were so much larger than them. We are like ants in their sight. And they became fearful, and they stayed, and they paused, and they wandered. And he says, I shake that wilderness. So I even will shake the place that you're paused at in staying in fear. I'll shake it so that you move on. Hello? Oh boy. Ah. That was a good one. I didn't realize that was going to come out of that, but that came out of that from the Lord. Is if you're in a place of wandering and you're settling in fear, God will not let you stay there. He will shake the ground that you have planted on so that you will move on. That's awesome. That's the love of God, and that's the voice of God. That's good stuff, man. That's really good preaching. Here, I know. I agree. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I do it quite often. Robin and I, we've got a thing. We talk to ourselves a lot. We, in each other's company. So we have to identify. I'm just talking to myself now. It's like, because I'll start answering herself, her, and she's like, no, what are you doing? I'm talking to me. Yeah, I'm not talking to you. Mm-hmm. And then she'll talk to me, and she'll wait for a response. I'm like, I thought you were talking to yourself again. Like, does it? It's kind of new every morning, huh? The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. In His temple, everyone shouts glory. You know, I before we hit into that, that whole passage of the voice of the Lord having this awesome, majestic power to shake the earth, move the mountains, split the trees, rumble with lightning and thunder. It's and even it almost seems like if you're reading this and you're reading it and you're hearing this, it can almost present itself as the voice of God is this scary thing, right? Yeah. But what he's actually in David, here's David. Remember, David is writing this, and he's writing this as David, who knows God, knows the voice of God. The reason he's sharing these attributes of the voice of God as such powerful, majestic things is not to be afraid of the voice of God, because remember when Moses came down from the mountain, he spent 40 days with God on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and as he came down, the voice of God rumbled through the air and started speaking. And as God spoke, remember, Moses was so attuned to that voice, it did not startle him, it did not shake him, it did not rattle him. He just kept coming. And as the voice of God spoke to the people, because it was so startling to them, so rattling, they got scared. And what they tell Moses, say, don't let God talk to us any longer. It's scary. Moses, you go talk to him and tell us what he says. That's what the people asked Moses. Please, Moses, that voice, We cannot handle it. It's too much. Do you understand what he's saying there? And this is what David is sharing with us in this psalm, is that the voice of God is, yes, majestic and powerful and awesome and has the ability to make mountains leap and skip. But the voice of God, as we get to know God's voice, we understand and we revere that power so much so that we long to be near it. I would rather be more near it than far away from it. Because the more close I get to the voice of God, actually there's this sweetness and this softness in it that it becomes a sweet, softer voice. I think the farther we get from it, the louder and the scarier it is. And I'm saying that for us to just recognize maybe and understand and even come clean with where I'm at in my relationship with God. Is God's voice scary to me? If it is, then get closer to Him. I know that's scary, but get closer and you'll find this next part that it gets even better, because this is what David, he loves how he finishes it up. It says, everyone shouts, glory, glory. That's a proclamation that the people are making that say, hallelujah, glory, yay for the voice of God. Yay for His shout, yay for His voice that has this power now to infiltrate my very own personal life. But not just my life, but even the life that I live in, the country that I live in, the city that I live in, the family that I was born into, the job that I work into. God's voice has the power to infuse and infiltrate that those places. Hello? Amen. Come on, that's good stuff, right? Amen. The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as King forever. The Lord reigns as King forever. Amen? Not done. I love this. I love that the Lord reigns as King forever. Got into it. Kind of a little subtle discussion with one of the boys. I won't give him his name. Won't out him. About claiming to be a god of something. I won't even tell you what it is because it's silly. But we're just having a fun conversation. Hey, can I be god of this? I'm like, no. You don't want to be god of anything. There's one God. He's like, well, okay. Can I be lord of this? I'm like, no. There's still only one Lord. How about king of this thing? It's like, no, that doesn't fit either. He goes, well, then I guess I could just be the thing. Like, yeah, that's it. In other words, God is king, God is Lord, God is God. We are not. Not have ever been and not ever will be. The Lord is King forever. The Lord gives His people strength. Listen to that. The Lord blesses them with peace. Do you hear what the Lord is saying right now? The Lord gives His people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. When I hear that in the context of this psalm, speaking that truth of the awesome power of the voice of God, the Word of God, God speaking to move mountains, split trees, and yet at the same moment give you and I the strength we need, the peace that I need in my heart, the peace that I'm longing for. Isn't that awesome? So that as we pursue the voice of God, when we really get honest with it, what we're really pursuing is more than just direction, but we're pursuing the infilling of the peace that all of us are longing for. A peace of God that surpasses understanding. A peace of God that will settle into my very soul, and in the midst of trials and in the midst of waves crashing and trying to break this house down, that I'm standing firm on the solid foundation. with my feet shod with the gospel of peace, so that as everything comes against me, I have, because of that peace of God, I have now the ability in that peace of God, and only in the peace of God, to stand firm. And when everything hits, to still be standing. Because life is hitting, right? Hello? It's hitting. And it's hitting hard. Some of us, it's hitting really hard. The peace of God is simply this: the manifestation of His will over you, which simply only comes about by my surrendering my will to His will. Did you hear that? I'm going to restate that, because that was a really good phrase. I had to write it down. It was so good. I need to say it again. The peace of God is a manifestation of His will over you, which comes about by our surrendering of our will. In other words, my will not be done, His will be done, and the peace of God then can settle into my very soul. And He can manifest His peace in me and through me, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make sense. Right? You guys with me? Okay, let's keep going, because here's the thing, and I need you to understand this. I don't know if you realize this or not, but God isn't anxious or nervous about anything. Did you know that? He really isn't. He's not anxious. He's not nervous about anything. And yet He lives and dwells inside me. So where does anxiety and nervousness and fear settle in from? Where does it come from? Not God. If God is speaking with such great power and force, then why are we still allowing circumstances of life to overwhelm us and sometimes even overcome and conquer us and take over our spirit and our demeanor to where, have you ever noticed, they call this thing called, maybe me, as I watch and I like to watch sports, I like baseball. One of the things that a real solid baseball player can do is not let his failure to be displayed, because baseball is about failing, and as you fail in it, you don't let that failure be noticed. In other words, you just keep your head up. You just oh, next pitch, next play. But for most of us, oh, I missed it. Ugh. Yeah, they call it Gumby shoulders, you know, where your shoulders drop. Yeah, yeah. I still can identify with this so much, just because as a kid, I wanted to please a dad. That I think when you have an unhealthy father relationship, there's this something that happens inside of you that you're always wanting to please them. And it's never enough, and so that was something that was a part of my childhood. So I always had Gumby shoulders, because I was always in trouble. I was always getting in trouble for something, and I was doing stuff that was not. I was always getting in trouble for something I never did. No, don't. In fact, just don't ever say that. Yeah, because you do stuff. The degree of trouble may not be correct, but we're all guilty. Hello? I was guilty of doing stupid things as a kid, but I was transparent. It's like I laugh at Trevor. He's the most transparent kid that I know. It's like, oh my gosh, when he's having a bad moment, it's like everybody knows. Right? See, now he's having a good moment because he's laughing. Yeah. He likes to be made fun of. I'm just kidding. Why do we allow circumstances to overwhelm us and conquer us when the voice of God says, it's my strength I will give you and my peace that I will bless you with as my people? I got a couple of answers, and here's a good one. Some of us might have some other answers, but I believe we all have a tendency, and just track with me for a second, or you can tune out, it's your choice. I ask you to tune in, because this is a good word from the Lord, I believe. We all have a tendency to exaggerate the size of our problem so that our fears are justified, and even makes our anxieties logical. Does that make sense? So I'll say it again. We all have the tendency to exaggerate the size of our problems so that our fears are justified and even makes our anxieties and worries logical. So much so that if you're not worried and afraid about it, shame on you, because you're not afraid like I'm afraid. You're not worried like I'm worried. Hello? So what causes us to do this? What causes us to is when we look at the size of our problem. Remember the Israelite spies that went into the land, and 10 of them noticed? What did they notice? They noticed the size of the problem. And they came out and reported the size of the problem. The size of the problem is the problem. And when that is becomes your focus, then your fear then takes it, your fear actually is validated, and therefore we will just sit in the wilderness. We sit in the wilderness when the size of our problem becomes all that we see. Do you realize that? Do I realize that? I'm talking to me too. Is when I look at and I see just the size of my problem, and that's all I see, I'm going to stay in the wilderness. And I'm going to wander around when I should be in the promised land. Hello? So I've been asking myself in a, you know, what gets us out of that? What gets us, you know, into a place of faith, a place of where I hear God and I trust God and I follow God, and God says, go, and I say, how fast do you want me to go? You know, and when God says stop, I say, okay, I'm stopping. And when God says to move, I move. What brings me to that place, to where the size, I don't look at what's in front of me, the obstacles, I don't look at the problem, whether it's my finances, whether it's my boss, whether it's my spouse, or whether it's my kids. You know, we could look at all of those things and say, that's the reason why I don't do the right thing, why I don't do the God thing. What's holding me back is all of these circumstances. It's everybody else, right? What's that? Well, yeah, we're looking at the size of our problem. And we're justifying our fear and even making our worry logical. It's unbiblical. It's not the Bible's way. Which brings up, I think, the next question I want to talk about. You guys okay this morning?
Yeah.
As I self-examined and asked myself, again, talking to myself, came up with some answers within myself, but I asked myself this question. And I want you to take this with and understand this question is I'm being reflective. And it's not at all arrogant. It's just asking the question is, why? Here was the question I was asking. Is that, why am I so in love and passionate and fervent about the Word of God? I asked myself that. Because it's a reality. I love the Word of God with everything in me. So I asked myself, why? Why am I so in love with the Word of God? Because I'm going to tell you, that's the answer to my all of the problems. Is the Word of God has the answer to all life's problems. And so as I asked myself, I said, well, maybe that's the answer, because I realized, I've come to this realization that in the Word of God, God's Word, are all answers to life. Hello? That's a good answer, right? No, listen, here's what, listen, these are good. I asked myself this question. Myself is coming up with these answers. You guys tracking with me? Stay awake. Because there's good stuff in the Bible, right? The Bible, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, the Bible's the acronym, right? Believer's instructions before leaving earth. Oh, that's why. That's why I like it. I need instructions, right? But I'm a guy. I don't read instructions. So that didn't fit. It's like, that's the last thing I do. I read the instructions after I put it together three times wrong. And then I don't know where the instructions are. So I threw it away with the box. That's what guys do. So that's not the answer, right? Hello? That doesn't, because it's good instructions, doesn't give me a passion for it. You guys with me? It's a good reason, and I realize that, but that's not what's given me a love for it, because come on. Does anybody get bored with math books? Do you get excited to read how to do math? Do you? Oh, she's an anomaly. She's an odd one. No, we don't get excited about instruction manuals, do we? Let's be honest. Okay, a couple people do. You guys are not, you're making this illustration really not work. Okay, there's exceptions. Are we honest? I mean, does anybody get excited about instruction books? Okay, a couple people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's not like a passion. Now, I think that there is, I believe that there is there's a gifting that God the Father has bestowed upon you people that like that kind of stuff. And that's a good one. You're called teachers. You're called instructors. That's a gifting from God because you like to learn. You love to learn. So your passion is for learning. That's a great thing. Awesome. Hallelujah. That's a God thing, right? Hello. And it's really, really great. But then the Word of God comes into play. And this is why I'm asking all these questions, because I'm asking the question of, because if the answers are in the Word of God, and it's the answers are the voice of God that gives me the strength, gives me the wisdom, gives me the peace that I'm longing for, it's the Word of God, God's voice that speaks into me and to you that we're longing for, why do I avoid it so much? Why do I never take time for it? And then that was a redundant question, because what I'm asking is what gives us that passion for God's voice? That's really what it comes down to. What gives me the longing to hear His voice? Because I think the answers is very simple. It's a lot more simple than I think we make it. The answer's not the issues in life. The answer's a lordship issue. And when I asked the Lord this, when I asked myself, I came up with good answers, but they weren't the answer. When I asked the Lord, He told me this: You have made me Lord of your life. When you make me Lord of your life, I take all of your life and I instill within you my passions, my desires. I will give you, that's the whole meaning of, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will implant within you the desires of your heart. In other words, you guys understand that's what He's saying. Don't twist that and say, oh God, give me a Ferrari because that's the desire of my heart. That's not what He's saying at all. That's such a distorted, twisted view of that verse. I will give you the desires of your heart. I will plant within you the desires of your heart. I have put this in you. I have instilled by my Spirit myself into you. Therefore, your desires of your heart become a passion to hear me. That's what happened. I still distinctly remember the moment that I got saved. I asked Jesus into my life, and I was on my way to heaven. Hallelujah, glory. And then I made Jesus Lord of my life about 2 months later, literally about 2 months after that. I made Jesus Lord of my life, and holy moly, guacamole, man, I'm telling you, the Bible was like, wow, are you kidding me? All the words of God in one book that I can read and I can read and I can read and I can read. I don't like to read, but I loved to read the Word of God. That was His desire imprinted, infused, implanted into my heart. The only place a passion for God's voice comes from is from a surrendered heart to Him. That gets really gritty, doesn't it, for a second? Because if I'm avoiding God's voice, it's because I'm avoiding the real issue of making Him Lord of my life. I like how Bill Johnson says it. It says, our issues are not financial. Our issues are not relational. Our issues are not occupational or even health issues. The issue is a lordship issue. The issues of life is a lordship issue. I want to read this passage in 2 Peter. Robin and I discussed it. It was really great. So I'm going to highlight it and just talk about it for the next few minutes. I discovered, I love the digital Bible a lot. I'm sold out. Talking about sold out to Jesus, sold out to Jesus as Lord. You guys understand, how many of you like to fish at all? Just a little bit. You probably can understand this, or maybe if you don't like to fish, that's okay. You can still follow the illustration. But have you ever been fishing, you put that long, you know, night crawler on a little hook, and in that little hook is this really long night crawler, a worm, and you stick it out, you throw it out there, you put a bobber on it. That's kind of the fun way of fishing for me. I like all form, but I like that kind of fishing where I can see what's going on. I can identify what's going on underneath the water. And so as you put this little big long worm on a little hook, the only way you're going to catch that fish is if the fish does what? Goes after the whole thing. Because I don't know how many times I've seen the bobber going dink, 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 dink. And those smart fish, what are they doing? They're nibbling on my worm. They're sitting there just nibbling, 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 nibbling until they get to the hook, and then they say, see you later. Right? But I think that's how a lot of us walk this Christian life with God. We just nibble at the things that we want to nibble at. And whenever it gets close to the hook where God can take you, and believe me, the illustration isn't about God, you know, taking you and frying you up in a pan. That's not what it's about. But it's about God taking you and His hooks getting into you to where you are now His and He is yours. But it's when we get close to the hook, that's when we just swim away. Let's go to another church. He's talking about this stuff a little too intense, right? We got to just swallow the hook of God's grace, God's goodness, God's glory, God's love. Swallow it. He is for you. He is for us. He's looking to instill His strength and His peace into your life. And when we nibble at the little things that God, that we feel comfortable with, we don't actually get all of God. We just get little pieces and parts of God that are tasty, but we don't get all of them. And what I need is all of Him. What you need is all of Him. What each of us needs is all of Him. The nibbling isn't working. I'll testify to the nibbling doesn't work. I got to swallow the whole thing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let me read this. I've discovered a translation in the Bible. It's called the Passion Translation. Any of you ever seen it, heard it, read it? I like it. TPT. The Passion Translation. So I'm going to read this passage of Scripture out of the Passion Translation. See if it might tantalize your taste buds for it. I think sometimes that's actually a hindrance, is when we sell out to one translation only of the Bible, you can lose, I think, what I believe God actually wants to speak to you, because sometimes it can get a little confusing and it doesn't make sense. And when things don't make sense and I don't understand because of the way it's worded, because it's worded in a challenging way, we can toss it to the side. You guys understand that? I encourage you to read different translations that are solid, and this is one that's solid. It's enlightening. It says this, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2, says this, and it's going on to verse 11, so just track with me. It says, May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by His divine power. Hallelujah. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who has called us by name and invited us to come to Him through a glorious manifestation of His goodness. As a result of this, listen to this, as a result of this, He has given you magnificent promises. Hello? They're all in God's Word. And let me just stop, pause for a second. God's Word, please don't. God's Word is written. God's Word is spoken. God's Word is revealed. God's Word is imprinted in your heart and in your mind. Hello? You know, please don't make this like, I don't think there's a distinction between God's Word being written or spoken. It's God's Word. I know some people like to make that distinction as though it's the spoken word of God, as though they have this prophetic insight to speak the word of God that surpasses in the written word of God. And that's just not so. And then there's others are in a camp where it's the written word of God only and only. There's no other voices that speak. It's all written in the Bible. What's written in the Bible is only in the Bible, and that's all that God ever spoke, and that God is speaking. So therefore, there's nothing that can be spoken that's outside of that. I think that's also wrong, because God is speaking still. None of it contradicts. When God speaks a word into my very soul and into my very spirit, it's always going to line up with the written word of God, the Bible. Hello? Amen. If it doesn't, then it's not from God. Maybe that's all. Why don't we just start there? Let's just read the Bible. That's a good idea, right? Let's read the Bible a lot. You got to like it. You got to want it. You got to fall in love with it. Oh boy. Then I got to surrender to Jesus as Lord. Because if you don't have Jesus as Lord, the Bible is kind of, it can get boring. I don't know how many people have come to me. It's like, I started reading the Bible and I just didn't get any of it. And then it got really boring. It's like, have you made Jesus Lord of your life? Well, no, I want to learn about God. It's like, well, make Jesus Lord of your life first and then get into the Bible. I guarantee the Bible will come alive. Hello? Yes, amen. Okay, I'm going to go on. I'm going to finish this morning, I promise. Before noon, still morning. Can't remember where I left off, so I'm going to read back just a smidge. It says, as a result of this, He has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature. Hello, do you hear what He's saying in that? It's pretty self-explanatory, right? It's in the voice of God, the promise of God that we take in, that's already been infused, it's already been into, given to you that now we partake of God's nature. And by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. In other words, that's the answer. Okay, let me rephrase it in my words. You can't not sin by trying not to sin. Did you realize that? It won't work. It won't work. You can't not do the things that you are trying not to do on your own strength and power. You won't be able to do it. You'll come to the same conclusion that Paul came to. That the things that I want to do, I keep doing. The things that I don't want to do, I don't do. What a wretched fool I am. It's only by the grace of God, by the power of His Spirit, in me, through me, that I'm able to be who God's called me to be and do what God has called me to do. Amen? Yes. Yes and amen. In other words, that's the only way to escape the corrupt desires that are in the world. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness, and to goodness add understanding, and to understanding add the strength of self-control, and to self-control add patient endurance, and to patient endurance add godliness, and to godliness add mercy toward your brothers and sisters, and to mercy towards others add unending love. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. Keep building. Keep building. Keep doing. Keep going. Don't give up. Since these virtues are already planted deep within you, and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. But if anyone lacks these things, he is blind, constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith and forgetting his innocence, for his past sins have been washed away. For this reason, beloved ones, be eager to confirm and validate what God has invited you to salvation and claimed you as His own. If you do these things, you will never stumble. As a result, the kingdom's gate will be opened wide to you as God choreographs your triumphant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah. That's powerful stuff. Again, I've come to the conclusion, and my prayer is that we all come to the same conclusion. Simple one. With my whole heart, I've made Jesus Lord of my life. Now let me rephrase that. With my whole heart, I have made Jesus Lord of my whole life. And I believe that is the only answer to life that we need to know. From there stems all solutions to all issues of life. From there comes all wisdom. From that complete surrender, from that absolute surrender to Jesus as Lord, with holding nothing back. Nothing back. That means nothing back. I hold nothing back. I just give it all to Him. My relationships. And in surrendering to Jesus as Lord in all of my relationships, there's no place for bitterness. There's no place for unforgiveness. There's only place, the only place for anything is love. I've been hurt just as bad as anybody else in this room. And I know some people in this room have been hurt really, really bad by other people, good people, even God people. If Jesus is Lord of your life, don't be blind, don't be nearsighted, as he says, to where all I'm thinking about is my hurt. Don't be thinking about just the thing that the circumstances, the obstacle. It's like, yeah, but you don't know how they hurt me. The moment we make that claim, that proclamation, we can't in the same breath say glory to God for his forgiveness into my life. I've forgotten that he cleansed me of my sin. I've forgotten that. When I hold you accountable to your sin, I forget that he has washed me of my sin. Guess what? You do the same. We all do it. When we're holding people accountable for their sin, we have forgotten that I have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then trust him in my finances. Do you guys realize that, yes, the economy right now, the building world, is everybody's building houses and they're putting up places all over the place, and our city limits are expanding beyond even, like, it's insane. Like, oh my gosh, they're building this way, that way, and if they could go up, they would. You know, it's every which way. But the economy kind of sucks right now. Everybody's struggling. Everybody's hurting. Guess what? We are too. It's difficult. It's challenging. But if I make Jesus Lord of my life, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to continue to trust him, and it's going to show in my tithes and offering. I'm going to say, yeah, I don't have it, but I'm going to give it anyway because God's called me to. And that's what real faith, and that's what real trust, and that's what real surrender looks like. It's evidence. There's something that comes out of it. That's what he's referring to, doing all these things. If you're not doing these things, you become blind and nearsighted. You know, in fact, I like how it's worded in this one. It's like they've deliberately shut their eyes. Right? Kind of like we play the childish game when you play hide and seek when the little child thinks that they can't see you you can't see them if they shut their eyes, right?
You can't see me.
It's like, no, I can still see you. It's kind of the game that we play with God. And then isn't it a challenging thing to trust God with our health? Because the aches are real. The diagnoses are real, right? So it's not that it's like, I'm not asking, and I don't think God is asking us to pretend it's not there. Just trust him in it. Do you realize, you guys remember this psalm is called Psalm 23? A lot of us like all of it that it says, but there's this one verse in it that has always been a little bit like, difficult to comprehend of like, how does that work? But there's this one place where he says, you prepare a table for me. You, God, this is God as my shepherd. You are my shepherd. You prepare a table for me. Where? In the valley of peace? No. Where do you prepare? You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Do you realize what he's saying in that? Say, David's proclaiming this awesome proclamation of God. God's the one that sets the table, the feast. You know, I eat from the feast of God. I eat from God's source. And he's saying to get it, it's in the presence of trial and difficulty. That's where you're going to get your best food. Your best nourishment's going to come from the trials of life and the issues of and the stuff that you got to go through. Hello? I don't like that either. But I'm thinking, I thought I heard somebody say, I don't like that, but maybe that was just in my head. I was reading your mind. But that's what God does, because that's where we get our best nourishment, at the table of God. In the presence of trial, in the presence of even our enemies. With our whole heart, make Jesus Lord of your whole life. Amen? And I believe it with everything in me because I could testify about it, that when I do that, when you do that, and as we do that, and I'm not saying, as I'm sharing this, I'm not at all implying that you haven't, but as you can, some of you, all of you can testify, as you've surrendered to God with your whole heart, God's voice becomes so rich and so encouraging and such a place of comfort. And yes, even at a place, it becomes a place also that we grow in and we grow from. In other words, it becomes difficult places, right? And sometimes those are the good places too. I know when I hear the voice of God that's telling me something that I really need to work on, that's not easy, but it's good. And it's right. And God's voice is always full of mercy and love because it's God's voice. It's God's voice. God's voice comes from God's heart. And it's always going to be full of mercy and love. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love for each and every one of us. Thank you that your love, actually, your voice of love speaks into my life and never leaves me abandoned, never leaves me to myself, never leaves me alone, but continues to grow me, continues to push me, continues to draw me, and even hold me when I need to be held, and strengthen me when I need to be strengthened, and give me the peace that I long for so much. So we come to you as Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, and we surrender to you. And we make the proclamation, not my will, but your will be done. I surrender to you, Lord Jesus, as Lord of my life. I surrender to you. And in that, we could shout, glory, 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 hallelujah. Fill our hearts with your Spirit. Fill our lives with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.